You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Welcome to episode 250 of Teach Better Talk podcast. My name is Ray Hewart, and we are celebrating with Mr. Jeffrey Gargas that we hit 250 and we haven't killed each other yet. Hi, Jeff.
250. That's nuts. Like, that's...
I know. I feel like there should be some epic, like, music here. Like, ta-da! We got there. We did it. This was the benchmark. We did it. It's exciting.
It's so 250 was, that was the mark that was, we, you know, I think, I feel like a while back we agreed that like a 250, like that was it. We were just calling it quits.
I thought it was after 250 we were going to speak only in Spanish.
Okay.
No, I don't, neither of us speak Spanish. I could do Hebrew for you though.
¿Dónde estás mis cervezas?
Okay, moving on. Congrats, guys. We got to 250. Yay, we did it.
Congratulations to anybody who's still listening after 250 episodes of this nonsense.
Speaking of, if you're listening, take a screenshot and post on social that you're listening to the 250th episode, because this is a big deal. Jeff, we came up with this idea while sitting in a room in a grocery store, and we wanted to do a podcast. And I know that all of you have heard the story 100 times, but the fact that we were in a room in a grocery store—it was like a businessy room.
It had tables and a whiteboard.
It was a community room
in a grocery store.
In a grocery store, and here we are. And here we are. 2021.
We started in the grocery store, and now we're to the top.
Dun dun dun.
Every time it's dun dun dun. I don't know why that's like your, you know, that's what? Like your celebration thing. But it kind of sounds like it should be in like an intense scene, like when the criminal.
That's like dun dun dun.
Oh, Chris, I hope you're clipping this stuff.
Thanks, Chris.
So 250. So I thought 250th, we should give a shout out to someone who gives us a review, because we have a lot of people that have given us. We have a lot of reviews. It's awesome. We have people that are awesome that listen and they like to share that and kind of like that sort of like cosign, right? Someone saying like, hey, this is actually a pretty decent podcast, you should listen to it. So we really appreciate that. But it's been a while since we've given a shout out.
That's true. But Jeff, you also know that I like to at least make this known, because especially since we talk about a podcast later this episode with our incredible guests. So guys, reviewing podcasts actually helps other listeners connect with that podcast. So whether you choose to review our podcast, hopefully you do, or you review Hunter's podcast, which you're going to hear about here in a little bit when we get into the episode, like, it's actually not only nice for us, we really, really appreciate it, but it's actually like furthering the message. It's helping another educator simply by you sharing your voice. So if you wouldn't mind doing all that stuff. But I like the screenshots too. Like, definitely do a review, but then screenshot and tell people you're listening. I don't know. If you go to teachbetter.com actually, and you actually look at our show notes, there's like a tweetable quote that you could do.
Yeah. I know. You might just get a shout out like this one right now. So this one.
Ooh, Jeff Gargas.
This one is
name.
From wow. Ms. Carrie Graham is the username.
Ooh.
And she says, cool. More of this, please. She says, the laughter plus the authentic listening by the host plus the bold insights from the guest equals a tired and committed educator's dream.
Ooh,
I love that. That makes you feel good,
awesome.
Doesn't it?
Awesome. Oh my gosh, I just got chills. That was so exciting.
This makes you feel good. So thanks for that. Appreciate that. Keep leaving comments, leaving rating and reviews so that we can share those out so we give you a shout out. And if you do the screenshot right now of wherever you're listening so we can say hello on Instagram or on Twitter or wherever you're at, that's awesome too. So we really appreciate that a lot.
Okay, wait. I was just thinking do a screenshot because I'm assuming you're listening on your phone. But if you're watching us on YouTube, and you take a screenshot. Can you make sure my face doesn't look weird?
Well, if you're watching on YouTube, just comment. Like, comment below and, like, hit like and hit subscribe. I mean, if you want to take a screenshot, that's good, too. We'll pause really quick. Ready for, like, this? Okay, good. Anyone who's listened doesn't realize that we just paused in horrible poses, but it worked. So you can take a screenshot.
Those poses
there.
Are horrible.
And
we should do that every time. We should pose in an awkward way. This is going to be a horrible podcast.
This is already a horrible podcast. But yes, we should. We should keep doing.
We have a really good episode coming.
This
guys.
Is a really, really great really episode. Good. So Hunter Flesh is a He claims to be just a second-year educator. He's a seventh-grade science teacher in Iowa. But I called him out at the end. I'm like, I don't believe you. I think this is far greater than 2 years because this guy is insightful. I don't mean to sound like, I don't know. I don't like this phrasing of like wise beyond his years, but I really got that from him. I mean, his dad is a long-term educator. His mom's an educator. So you can really feel it because he's just got it. But dude, and he's also a great podcast host. So you hear that in him as well. But man, I just thought value all throughout the episode. This was a really, really good episode. So get past this horrible intro, get into the awesome episode, leave a rating and review, but leave it for like how awesome our guests are. Ignore Ray and I's level. This is 250 episodes. Somehow we're still here and you're still listening. So we appreciate that. Ray, anything? I mean, you've been on Hunter's podcast, so you know both what it's like to have him as a guest and to be a guest on his show. So like a little extra.
Oh, he's awesome, and I really enjoyed, there were a few moments, I don't know that we got any on the recording, so I'll have to listen back through, but where you were kind of fangirling out, because Hunter's a pretty cool guy, so I think it's great when, you know, people come on the show and, like, school us. He was killer. Yeah, so good.
There's one point later on the episode where he does totally flip it. He starts asking us a question. I'm like, wait a minute, I think we're being interviewed right now. This is crazy. I love it. Yes, awesome. So this is a great, great, great episode, 250 with Hunter Flesch.
Hey guys, we'll get right back to this episode, but I do want to give a special shout out to applications opening for Teach Better Ambassadors. I know, I've been talking about it a bunch. I'm so stinking excited. February 8th, ambassador applications are opening up over at teachbetter.com/ambassadors. If you are a passionate member of the Teach Better family, if you listen to the podcast, pop into Mastery Chats, enjoy a live session here and there, then you are most likely qualified to apply to be a Teach Better ambassador. There are so many perks. You can read about everything that's included over at teachbetter.com/ambassadors. And on February 8th, you'll see a brand new button there to actually apply to be one yourself. Applications are open February 8th through February 27th. And from there, we will welcome a brand new set of ambassadors to our incredible family. If you love staying connected and doing incredible work to support and collaborate with others, this is the group for you. I'll meet you over at teachbetter.com/ambassadors. But for right now, let's get back to this episode.
All right, we are here and we are chatting with Hunter Flesch. And Hunter, it's so awesome to have you on the podcast. We're already laughing, having a good time, goofing around. So I just know this is going to be a good episode. You're a podcast and pro in my book, so I know you're ready to roll. I know this is going to be awesome. We're going to have a lot of fun. I want to talk about the podcast, want to talk about your journey, want to talk about everything you got going on. But before we get too far into all that, man, how are you feeling right now?
Honestly, I'm great. So, and first of all, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. And Ray and Jeff, you guys are, mentors, and well, you know, I look up to all the work that you guys are doing as a second year teacher, and all the amazing things you both are doing is just inspiring for a young educator for myself. So thank you both first and foremost. But I'm doing great. Today we had a weird day, in the line of very many weird days, you know, as the school year has been. We first started out 7 a.m. I got to school ready to go to do a 2-hour delay because, and I think Ray, you're in Chicago, and so you know this, it's like -20 degrees outside. And so school is going to start late. Well, I get to school at 7 o'clock. And of course our superintendent says, oh yeah, by the way, we're going to just do a virtual day. So I really didn't even need to drive into work and then just kind of stayed at school, taught virtually. And I'm feeling good though. It's just like, it was a very good day to just get things done. And I think we all need those types of days to catch up a bit. So I'm good.
I like that silver lining. That's good. See, yeah. Most teachers would be like, oh, I had to trek all the way to work. Now we're getting a lot of snow here, Hunter. So I feel like the cold was just the beginning of what's coming to us this week. I'm getting ready.
Exactly.
So Hunter, how close are you to Ray? Are you right in Chicago, Hunter?
No, I'm actually in Iowa. So still Midwest, but.
Oh, you're in Iowa. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Basically everything Chicago we get to. So.
We got hit here in Ohio too. We're not quite as cold, but I did run this morning. It was 19 degrees this morning. It's hanging around low 20s right now, but we got some snow last night. We're supposed to get a little bit more tonight too. So I actually just got a text before we started this that my kids don't have school tomorrow. So
hey, there we go.
They already called it.
No, and not like a real snow day, not like a Zoom day, like a snow day.
Yeah, so my kids are virtual, and we've been virtual all year, but some of the students are in person. So anytime they call off for them, that you know, the virtual students don't have to go either. Gotcha. So they get it off. So they had today off, tomorrow off. Awesome. Long weekend for them.
That's awesome.
There you go. Well, guys,
Ray,
don't worry.
Ray, can I have a snow day? Is that, can I?
No, you may not. Tomorrow? Jeff, you have to work tomorrow. Too bad. You have a lot of work to do. Like a lot. So
right.
You may not. We will celebrate that my phone says it's -3 right now. So that's exciting. Happy -3 to everyone else. But we are breaking all the rules because, Hunter, usually this is where we let you like introduce yourself. I want to preface to our listeners that, Hunter, you're on a very special list of mine of like awesome podcast voices, because I know you have your own podcast that we're going to talk about very soon. But as you get into your introduction, I want all of our listeners to be like listening to your voice and thinking about like, you're up there with Dave Schmidto in my mind of like really good podcast voice. So I'm excited for all of this. Will you share a little bit about us, about you, not about us, but about you?
Such high praise. My goodness. Put me in the same conversation as Dave. That's awesome. I'm way too kind. I appreciate that. No, my, for those that don't know me, I'm Hunter Flesch. I'm a second year teacher in Des Moines, Iowa. I'm a 7th grade science teacher and loving it. Like I said, it's only my second year. So honestly, I'm just learning a ton from educators in the field. That's why I started the podcast in the first place. And that's how I met you, Ray, through Schools of Thought. And it was just an opportunity for me to just learn. You know, that's what I was seeking out, was just this passion to try and learn as much as I could about teaching and to learn it quickly. And we know that schools don't go as quickly as we want them to all the time. And so that's kind of really where that side project sort of developed. But about me, I'm from a long line of educators. My grandparents were educators. My parents are educators. My mom was an administrator for a long time and now retired. And she's very happy about that. And my dad is still teaching, and this just blows my mind. I don't know about you two, but my dad is still teaching 30 years in at the same school that he first started at. I feel like you don't hear that very often anymore. And he's just like, yeah, it's just what I do, man. I don't know. And I'm like, Dad, that's not normal. That's not normal. And so teaching is in my blood. And I always say, you know, I'm a triplet too, and I've got two sisters. And so neither of them wanted to go into teaching. And so I had to. No, but really it was the only thing I ever wanted to do is become a teacher. I'd always thought about it ever since I was young, and now I'm living my dream.
I love it. So let's talk about the podcast a little bit. Can you give us a rundown about the podcast? Let everybody know, what's it called? Where do we find it? What do you do? What do you talk about? Like, who should listen?
Yes.
All the good stuff. Just the whole thing.
The whole spiel. Absolutely. So
the whole spiel.
So Schools of Thought really was an idea that, came out of sort of a conversation I had with an assistant principal friend of mine. I'll shout him out, Jason Lampe. We kind of created it together. We started it together because both him and I, you know, it started with, you know, this differentiation between thought of administrators and teachers, right? And how those two worlds are very separate and different. And so it started out more as just us conversing about things that we were interested in. And, you know, as he got busy, he kind of stepped aside from the podcast and I sort of continued it. And now it's just simply become an opportunity for me to interview any expert educator within their field about any topic that they're really strong in. So I've been blessed to have talked to so many people, you know, like Ray talking about your Teach Further model and the grid method, you know, talking with people on Instagram like the Calm Classroom, Katie, who hosted that, and how she creates mindfulness activities for her room. I actually, and this is like an announcement, I suppose, tomorrow night, I'm interviewing Dr. Todd Whitaker about educational leadership and all the things that he's done. So that's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about that. But literally, it was born out of me wanting to learn, right? I'm a second year teacher and I don't claim to know anything. I just have a desire to learn. And I know so many teachers are seeking that. And so really, I'm just creating it to share other people's wisdom. It really has nothing to do with me, which is kind of nice.
I love that. And, you know, Ray and I talk about all the time how this podcast is like the best PD we get anywhere. And it really is. It's just an excuse for us to talk to a bunch of really awesome, really smart people and learn from them and hopefully raise their voice enough and extend their reach just enough to inspire at least one other educator, one other person to just be a little bit better. Like, you know, that's what it is. So I love that that's where you're at with that. That's super cool. Really glad that you have it. The podcast is great. I remember when Ray was on it, she got off and was ranting and raving about it. So from there, I think most of our team jumped right on and started listening to it and checked it out. And everyone agreed. So Make sure you check out the podcast for sure. Hunter, I want to go in a direction. One of my favorite questions on the podcast, that's when we talk about failure. So I'd really love to have you just share a story with us about a time that you've had a failure. Kind of take us there with you. What happened? How did you overcome it? And then what did you take away from that experience?
That's a great question. And like I think about failure all the time, like, man, what failure are you talking about? I had like 30 failures to just today. But that's the best part of teaching, is that you get to look forward to the opportunity to fail. And that's kind of weird when you think about that at first, like, oh, I have to look forward to when I mess up. But it's all about mindset and how you view failure. To me, that just becomes instant learning and an instant opportunity to reflect and grow from that. And that has made my first couple years of teaching. And I know for any new teacher out there listening, like, I know you want to be perfect, but you're not going to be. So get over that and accept that failure is going to be a part of your daily life and use it to your advantage. And so, you know, for a recent example, I was actually addressing a student in my class, and he has some, he's not like a major behavior issue student. You know, he's not like tearing classrooms apart or anything like that, but he is just, his voice is so loud and he has zero filter. You know, we've all had that kid in our classroom where they're just shouting at their friends across, you know, across the room. And so you kind of gravitate to those kids, trying to redirect them more respectfully. And so, you know, this one class period, it was just over the top, just shouting belligerently. And it was just too much. It was bringing the rest of the class down. And it was really interrupting my instruction. So I gave him a lot of redirects and he became really, really upset about it. You know, and I tried doing it respectfully, and I kind of called him out a little bit, you know, after I'd given him a few, you know, the proximity, you do the whole traditional style. And he was really upset. And later on, he came back into my room and we had a restorative conversation with him, you know, and asking him about how he felt, why he was upset, and why he felt like he, you know, needed to shout throughout the class, and what was sort of causing that. And it really opened up my eyes, because he told me, "Mr. Flesh, I really felt like you singled me out. And when I was talking, I wasn't the only one talking in the room. So why did you pick on me?" And in my mind, I'm like, well, buddy, you're the loudest out of everyone. I'm going to gravitate towards you. You have to know this about yourself. But I had to stop and think, man, he's actually kind of right. Like, there are a bunch of other kids that were probably in that book, or in that standard, I suppose. They were technically misbehaving as well. So why didn't I talk to the rest of the class or the rest of those kids? And so to him, he felt like I was treating him unfairly. And most times, teachers might just move on from that and not really think it, you know, give it a second thought or think about it too much. But because I had that conversation with him, it completely changed how I approach him. And that failure in my approach to him and addressing him in the right way, like, that's helped me really figure out how to approach him and the rest of my students. Not just with being consistent with my expectations, but also understanding that some kids need different approaches. Some kids are going to be quiet, so you don't really have to worry about them. Some kids are going to be super loud and hyper, so you have to give them some chances to be successful, and know that, like, it's not going to be perfect. And so through that failure, I feel like I'm making this more positive than maybe the failure question's supposed to be. But I really felt like I learned a lot from that one experience, just from that one student. He told me what I needed to know in that moment was, hey, I know I'm going to be loud. I get picked on all the time from teachers in my classes because I'm naturally loud, and it drives me crazy. And so him telling me that really allowed me to set a goal with him. And I've seen a lot of improvement with him lately, but it was because I took that failure and chose to act on it and to learn from it that actually turned out being a success. Sorry, that was long-winded, but hopefully that makes sense.
No, it wasn't long-winded. It was awesome. And I'm so glad that you twisted a failure into a positive, because that's exactly what failure is all about. Something that I've really appreciated about you and being connected to you is that you are so reflective. And I think reflection is one of the most powerful tools in our toolboxes that we have as educators, really as human beings. And so I think your answer about this failure, which actually you turned into a success, really shows that reflective nature that you have, that ability to learn from every situation. I think that's a great, great reflection of a huge celebration that you have. You know, when it comes to the work that you do, you know, whether it be your teaching or like the podcast, which I know you're sharing is so much more professional development for you. But as a listener, as somebody who has subscribed and listens to your podcast, I know there's a ton of value in there. What really is keeping you excited right now about education and kind of all that you're doing?
Oh my gosh, I saw this question and there's just so many things that I'm excited about. It was hard to pick one. Man, I am so excited about feeling empowered as a teacher. And that's really broad. But I think as a first year teacher, and I've been reflecting a lot about my first year, it is just like patchwork. You're trying to make it through your first year. You're trying to figure out what the heck you're going to teach the next day and how to make sure that these kids don't hurt each other, right? You're trying to make sure that your classroom's running as smooth as possible. But then in your second year, you take all that experience and now you get to build on it. And now you actually get to reflect on, man, why did I choose to do that? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? Take apart every small piece and like own it, right? Own your classroom for once and actually make specific changes to it. And you get to actually see the tangible success. So I think what I'm excited about is like taking my teaching into my own hands. And not just my own classroom, but my growth, taking the growth that I want as a professional teacher and educator into my own hands. And that means that I feel empowered enough to go use the expert staff in my building to address the needs that I want met or answer the questions that I have. You know, I have been really struggling with, you know, designing assessments and making sure that they're standard aligned. And so I use my mentor teacher who is an expert in that area. And I'm not hesitant anymore. I'm willing to go out and ask her, right? And she helps me all the time. And it's just being willing to ask and feeling empowered enough to go out and ask people for that assistance. And also feeling empowered to establish plans that are best for students and not waiting for, oh, well, what will the principal think? What will the assistant principal think? What will these other teachers think of me? Taking away that fear of judgment, feeling empowered enough to take a risk, make a decision as a team and move forward with it because you know it's what's best for kids. That's something that we're doing as a seventh grade team that I really feel like is empowering me as an educator. Is like we're okay with taking risks because we know that it's best for kids. And we know that our administration will support that because we've thought through it and that we're moving forward as a team. So that's something I'm really excited about is this mindset of taking risks. And I don't know if you two want to add on to that, because that is such a difficult thing, I think, for young teachers to want to do and embrace, right? We want to be perfect. We want to not mess up. We're getting evaluated for the first time ever. We're still on our initial license and we just don't want to screw up. But there is so much growth and learning that happens just by choosing to take a risk, to try something new. And I don't know where that comes from or who has to tell a teacher to do that. But once they have that capacity to do that, man, it changes your teaching and it changes how you approach your job.
1,000%. And it's really a blending of two different, you know, they kind of say like it takes two to tango, right? It's not only being able to choose to take a risk. It's not just new teachers it's hard for. It's hard for every educator, whether you are labeling yourself as a veteran teacher, a new teacher, or somewhere in between. The reality is that taking a risk is hard. And you might feel different risks depending on where you're at professionally, but the risk taking itself is hard. But the other caveat to that is you also need to work in an environment that creates a safe space for that. And so we always like to encourage, whether you're in a school building or just part of the Teach Better family doing something else, that there are safety nets there to support you and help you reflect when you try something new, as long as you choose to use them. And so I love that, Hunter. I'm such an advocate for risk taking. And I love that that's your mindset, because we've all been thrown to the wolves. And there is so many educators that are just running and finding the silver lining. And I'm so glad to know that you're a part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and you both have so much more experience than I do. And this is just what I've seen in my first couple of years. Like, what are even the risks of What are the consequences of taking a risk within your room? Like, students end up not like enjoying the lesson you taught, or like it fails and you just try something different the next time. Like I've asked this question to a lot of people, and it's something I think about a lot, is within a school, what really is the consequence of trying something new? or trying something that is different or that might be a little bit risky, there really aren't that many consequences. It's our own self-doubt, our own fear, our own fear of judgment from others. Oh, Mr. Flesh is trying something new in his room. I don't know what he's doing. That's a little crazy. But we let that fear and that judgment like hold us back. And I wish every teacher, young and old, had someone to like grab them and shake them and say, it's okay to try something new. It's okay to take a risk, because that truly transforms your teaching and it allows you to have such an open mind. And then when things don't go well, you don't spiral into that, you know, pit of self-doubt and worry. I don't know. And I don't know what your guys' experience with that is, but if I could just wave a magic wand and fix something within the education world, that would be it. I would wish that every single educator's mindset was open and willing to try something new and take risks.
You know, it's so funny, Hunter. I bet that everybody is kind of thinking of their own fears right now, right? Everybody has their own list of, oh, I'm fear of judgment. Oh, I'm fearful of a parent email. Oh, I'm fearful that my administration won't support me. Oh, I'm fearful of, you know, XYZ. The reality is that risk-taking is worth it, and feeling confident within yourself and within your resources to overcome the fears that are currently stopping you is really the next step, right? How do you put yourself in a situation where you feel safe taking a risk that even if you get that parent email, even if you get a colleague that might be judgmental, that you can still power through in that instance. And I love that you're challenging people to name those fears, because you're right. Fears are much scarier when you don't know what they are. But when you're able to name them and say, okay, what am I actually concerned about? Well, now we can problem solve, because it's an idea that we can actually like think through. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Hunter, I think the other question we need to ask to flip it is, what is the risk if you don't take that risk? If you have something that you're thinking about doing in your classroom because you think it's what's best for your kids, or could be better for your kids, or could be the missing link for your kids or certain kids or whatever it might be, what's the risk if you don't try that? What if it was going to potentially improve what you do and therefore impact kids in a positive way, and you don't do that? That is a much greater risk, in my opinion, than if you do it and you fall on your face, you get embarrassed, or you get judged, or maybe you get points off on your value, whatever it might be. Like, those are all valid fears in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. But think about it as, what happens if I don't do this? What if I don't try to do this? Because what could it do? What if I did and it unlocks the thing I've been missing for? You know, I've been missing. Ray, I think about you with the grid method. When you first tried it, like, what if you hadn't? Like, think of the chain, you know, like the way that it just took your teach further model and just put it on steroids, for lack of a better term, right? And gave you that little missing thing. What if you wouldn't have, because you were afraid of being judged? Like, that's, I think, and how many kids have been impacted or more impacted or however, whatever the increase of that impact, like, what if you wouldn't have done that? I think that's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Far outside, that goes beyond teaching too, just in life in general. But
yeah,
what if I don't take this risk? What am I actually risking not accomplishing, not impacting, and going from there? So that's my two cents.
More than 2 cents. That's so valuable, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. 32 cents, whatever.
You know, Hunter, it's funny because you've already shared so many pieces of advice, but question five always has to do with one piece of advice. And I like to think of this, and I feel like this has evolved over the episodes of Teach Better Talk. But if you wanted to give your listeners one piece of advice that when they walked away from this episode, they'd be like, okay, but this is what Hunter like really wants me to consider, what would that be for you?
Listen to your students. Listen to your students closely. They will tell you every single thing that you need to know. Everything. And it's not just, oh, they're actually talking to me and telling you what you need to know. It's when a student might wear their hood in the class. It's when the student is talking with a friend, or they have their head down, or any sort of sign that you see, students will tell you what you need to know. You know, you might have staff members that have been there forever and have the traditional style, and it might not be your cup of tea in terms of teaching, but they're the only ones you can get advice from. Like, they might try to feed you advice. You might have principals that are pushing certain, you know, directives and missions down on you, and you have to try and follow through with those. And And they might be trying to direct your classroom a little bit and take control of your classroom a bit. And the moral of the story is that's all information that you can choose to take. But the most important and immediate information that will change the trajectory of your teaching is what your students tell you. And they'll be honest, right? It is going to be unfiltered, honest truth. And so if you are willing, and the key with all this is you have to be willing to listen. It's one thing to take a survey of your students and ask them, how is my teaching? You know, what could I do differently? What could I do better? What are you like so far? And not do anything. It's an entirely other thing to take all that and actually change. That's the key. And, you know, that we have to be willing to listen to our students. They will tell us exactly what we need to hear when we need it. They will tell you how your teaching is. They will tell you if the grid method's working or not. They will tell you if the behavior discipline that you're using in your room works for them or not, or is fair or is not. They know. And we choose to act like teachers are this end-all be-all, and we know all, so students should just listen. But students have a voice too. And they want to learn for teachers and will do anything for teachers that are willing to listen to them and give them a voice. And so if I had to give one piece of advice, listen to your students, because they will tell you everything you need to know.
That is powerful advice. And I really love that you added in the piece of you have to be willing to listen and then take action on what you're hearing and what they're telling you, and be willing to do that. Because sometimes what you listen to and what you hear and get back may not be what you thought or what you really wanted to hear. But if you're willing to listen to it and then put that in action, that's powerful mm-hmm. advice. I love it.
And it connects back to risk taking too, right? Like it's taking a risk to ask your students the truth. And it's a real honest mirror you have to look in. And if you're not willing to look in it, then you probably shouldn't be asking the questions, right?
I love it, man. Let's keep it going. Yep. We're going to do these next six questions. I'm going to throw them at you. Yep. Your goal is to answer each one in 15 seconds or less. You ready?
Ready. Let's go.
Give us one ed tech tool you cannot live without.
Google Forms and Google Sheets. Since I have adopted the grid method, that is like the end all be all for me. I track all my students through Google Sheets and Google Forms. It's amazing.
I did not know you were using the grid method until right now. That's awesome. Yeah. What book are you reading right now?
Shift the Monkey by Todd Whitaker. That has been such a game changer for me and just how I deal with stress and how I own up with responsibility and all of that. It's amazing.
Who do we need to follow on Twitter or Instagram today?
All right. Shout out Erin Myers. She's also a podcaster, The Educator's Mindset, Jonathan Alsheimer, Next Level Teaching, and Christian Karen of The Modern Principal, doing amazing things down in Kansas City.
What's a good YouTube channel, website, or podcast for educators to check out?
Well, this is a cop-out, but I put my own podcast, Schools of Thought. A couple podcasts I listen to are Revisionist History by Malcolm Gladwell. He's got such amazing insight and just unique lessons. And then Teach Me Teacher by Jacob Chastain. Just the guests he has on are always so empowering and insightful.
Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
Personally, I record the best moment from each day in a journal. It's a recent habit I've gotten into, but it's been so helpful just to ground myself in gratitude. But then also, teachers should be doing something mentally to reset each day or each week, whatever it is. You know, Ray and I, we talked about this on the podcast, is just walk a dog, work out, journal, do something that helps you reset each day.
And what is the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Always be willing to learn. No matter if you're a first-year teacher or a 30-year teacher, if you have the hunger and the drive to learn and the willingness to change your practices as you see fit and as is needed at the time, you'll become essential to your students and your school.
Of course that's his piece of advice. Come on. Of course.
That's predictable. Sorry.
All right. I'm just gonna say it. We're all thinking it. Did you say second-year teacher?
Yes.
2 years
I'm
in.
Calling BS, right? I'm calling it. I don't believe him.
We can
lying to the
technically,
network.
Technically, it's a year and a half, and I don't know if we count the COVID time.
He was so lying. It's, like, it's a year and a half. He goes later.
So I guess I'm shorter. Sorry. I'm rounding up.
Oh my gosh, Hunter! Man. I am excited to award you the Teach Better Talk Trophy. Jeff is going to be mailing it, so please make sure you check your doorstep every single day.
Actually, after checking the weather all throughout that area, it's actually going to be delivered by sled dog.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
As expected.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good gift because he likes dogs. So, I mean,
I know it's like a twofer.
It's like right? a twofer.
Twofer.
Yeah.
Wow. What did I do to deserve this?
Wow.
You know, you so lied about how long you've been in education. Yeah,
apparently,
that's what you did.
Apparently.
We reward liars here on Teacher Talk. I don't know.
Hunter, I'm also excited to make you my new co-host since Jeff, this will be his last episode. So thank you to all of our listeners. We appreciate you all voting in. Hunter,
breaking news. Jeff Gargis is retiring.
Breaking news.
Man, yeah, if only that meant retiring. Yes. Unfortunately, Hunter, that's not the only time I have to deal with Ray.
Whoa.
It still doesn't, you know, deserve me. I don't know. I can't get away from it. I can't get out of it. I'm done. I quit.
For all of our listeners that want to connect with our new co-host of Teach Better Talk podcast, Hunter, would you mind sharing how people can stay connected, even if you won't be in the next few episodes, but I'll just cross my fingers and hope it happens?
Ray, that transition was flawless. I'll just tell you that right now.
See, yeah. That's why I'm the host and you're the co-host.
Stop just filling her up with that. She's already...
Sorry, Jeff.
With the TED Talk and everything, she's so like...
I know. Hunter. Congrats on that, by the way. Sorry. Back on topic, guys. Okay. Website, edessentials.net. I'm on Twitter at @edessentials_, Facebook, edessentials collection. And then I'm way more active on Instagram. So it's just at @edessentials_. Just search Hunter Flesh or edessentials and you'll find me there. You can find my podcast, Schools of Thought, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor.
And you know, you can find all the links and all the resources and everything we talked about in this episode over at teachbetter.com, as well as the really important links for connecting with Hunter. And continuing to learn and grow with him. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Be sure to hit subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and a review, we'd really appreciate that as well. And let's take it one step further. Think of just three of your colleagues who need to hear these amazing stories and connect with these amazing educators and just share this podcast with them. Hunter, this was awesome, man. This was a lot of fun, but also a ton of value in here. I am so excited that you're only 2 years into this because I see so much potential of what you're about to do to education over the next 15, 20 years. And that's exciting right there. So I hope everyone's going to connect with you and continue going with you. I know they're going to get so much out of this episode. Just really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hang out with us and chat, man. Thank you.
It's always fun with the Teach Better team. I tell you what, it's a blast. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
All right. And until next time, let's get out to Let's Teach Better.